It's time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We back. We are back in effect in your ear canal. Glad y'all here. You know what I mean? 2025 is in full swing. You know, I guess we've gone beyond the Happy New Year threshold. This new year is the year. So it is what it is. I hope you're adjusting. Transitioning is all good. A lot of shit is going crazy. Shout out to my people in New York City dealing with this congestion toll of motorists. The malign motorists of New York City. Anyway, that's a lot on it. I don't want to air too much out. But yo, Muhammad, what's good? How you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better than what you just played out.
Man, listen.
Shit. Yeah. New York is trying to keep the brokies out.
They trying to ring you for anything you got. Anything you got. One of my homies was like, you just can't take it personal. It's the system. I was like, I hear all that.
Yeah. That's how New York always start. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, man.
Fuck. The fare went up 50 cents. Fuck, I ain't going nowhere. Next thing you know, dropping that shit.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it, man. New York City, man. Hardship disguised as lifestyle, But it is what it is. We're here, happy. We're going to endure. You know, I've said this before. We enduring. But we're not even just enduring. We thriving, even through the bullshit.
I mean, let the people know what the congestion shit is.
So the congestion toll is basically, they came up with this thing. I want to say Pete Buttigieg has some shit to do with it, which make me look at him crazy. This motherfucker out there in South Bend, Indiana, what are you doing? But anyway, congestion toll is, they created what they call a business district in Manhattan. From 60th Street all the way down to the bottom of Manhattan. That's debatable if that's all business district, but whatever. So basically, to come into Manhattan, not even during business hours, because maybe that makes some sense since it's a business district, but to come into Manhattan at any time of the day, 24 hours, you're going to have to pay a toll. Even if you live in Manhattan, if you live north of 60th Street, you know what I'm saying? You got to pay to come down there. Now, right now, it's like $9 a car, which is already it's a lot. $9 a car. And I believe you could only be charged once a day. I think it's $15 for, I don't know who got the 15, maybe trucks and things of that nature. But, like, it's a little crazy. What they also did by doing this is they quietly eliminated a lot of the little free bridges in New York City. So now the 59th Street Bridge used to be, you know, a little cheat code. You want to go to Long Island. You don't want to have to pay that toll. You go to take that little 59th Street Bridge, the Ed Koch Bridge, if you want to call it that. You know what I mean? It might add another half hour to your thing, but you'll save $6. You know what I mean? No, sir. Not no more. Now, you know, Brooklyn Bridge. Not no more. So in anywhere you come into the city, you got to get told. Now, you could drive from uptown all the way to Brooklyn if you stay, like, you know, if you stay on the highway and you go straight to the next borough. They're not going to tag you. Now, also, you got to realize, if you're coming in from places like Jersey, where it's already like $13 to $15, they adding another $9 if you take the Lincoln on Holland. So now that means there's going to be a whole lot of motherfuckers coming up through the damn George Washington Bridge, which is going to bring about a whole lot of traffic. And there's a thing It's called environmental racism. That happens quite a bit to where, like, you know, like smog and idling trucks and all of that type of shit, pollutants in the air, they're kind of, people kind of turn a blind eye when it's in communities of color. And it's been going on for a very long, long time, and it's probably going to get a little crazier there, too. And then the funny thing is they even added $9 to the damn Verrazano, which is already one of the, which is the most expensive bridge. But the Verrazano go from Staten Island to Brooklyn.
You said they added $9?
They added $9 to that. But you're not even coming to Manhattan, so I don't even understand how that works. Now, this is the sad part. This is what's really crazy to me. This is the sad part, right? Allegedly, they say Trump gonna shut this whole shit down. And I'm like, I hope so. Yo, y'all might catch me out here looking crazy.
What you got to do with it?
It's no, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Come on, Trump. What we doing?
Him again? He ain't, can't even run no more.
I ain't vote for him either time, but I'm saying shit. You know what I mean? He might.
So if how
he
you gonna look crazy?
Well, if this nigga overturned that congestion, he making America great. You gonna shout him out? I ain't gonna shout him out. I might blow my horn. Might blow the horn every time I drive past 61st Street. I thought about it. Put the hat on when I come through the 61st Street for free. But that ain't gonna happen. But we'll see. I doubt it. You know, Trump is full of like a lot of, I'm about to do this. This nigga's a deadbeat president. But enough of that. That's very regional. But yeah, that is a struggle over here in New York City. And it's been, I've talked about it here and there for years, because I have also identified that it is one of the, it is the thing that got me the most upset over the last few years. Like, I could feel every time I talk about it, I get tight. I'm cooling now. Shout out to my man Kanor. We had a whole conversation. He was like, you can't take this shit personal, man. It's the system. Blase skip. And while I hear that, while I understand that, you know what I'm saying? There's a part of me that just feel targeted. It definitely feels like some redlining shit, like I said. You know what I'm saying? Like uptown Manhattan got to pay to be downtown Manhattan. You know what I mean? And now it's like, that's the other thing that we do, particularly us as black people, but in general, but us as black people, like, we'll take the bullshit, and rather than identify it as the bullshit, we'll just identify it as the filter for brokies. You know what I'm saying? So it'll become the, oh, if you can't afford it, nigga, then say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just what? Why are we justifying this fucking gouging with just another level, another tier of shame? You know what I mean? But it is what it is. That's just
niggas, you know. That's
how traumatized people move. Yeah, man. But so that's that. Meanwhile, on another related kind of note, I see that Facebook about to turn into the Wild Wild West. They getting on their X shit. You know what I'm saying? They said, look, we ain't about fact checking no more. Why should we do that? Let's create community. Community based on misinformation, and you know what I mean? That whole thing about
won't.
Man, you know what community they trying to embrace. So that shit about to get stupid. A lot of these companies are starting to peel back their DEI initiatives. Two companies, you know, Walmart and McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Two cats that I kind of be rocking with. But I feel like I need to walk away from both anyway. So this is, you know what I mean? Maybe this is the reason. Maybe this is divine intervention. Whatever. But, man. That's what I'm talking about.
That, you know, nobody trusted they ass no way. They, like, Facebook was the capital of misinformation. You know what I'm saying? The 2016 election. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, Facebook, you know, always been, yeah.
That was the one what they said that the Russians targeted or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? This shit is computer shit anyway, so this shit is misinformed. It's all kind of, I mean, it's been the Wild Wild West. Niggas try to, I guess, act like they was trying to help the problem, but nigga, you the problem. You ain't gonna shut down, so this shit gonna be. So,
yeah. That was that, but you know, that becomes a question too. been having this question. Like, at what point do you just say fuck it? Right?
Yeah.
On many levels. So like, you don't mess with, like, you really do leave X. You really do leave Facebook. You really do leave Instagram. You really do leave America. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen Ghana talk about, yo, come over here. We have the citizenship for the free. Come through. You know? It's, you know, so many, we got so many creature comforts. You know what I'm saying? And comfort is a huge thing. Comfort has damn near become like an inalienable right. You know what I'm saying? Where people will do whatever it is to feel comfortable, even, you know, tank their finances or compromise their, you know, not just their integrity, but like put themselves in harm's way. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, and it's just like, but at the same time, I've been feeling like America, the propaganda of America being the best place on earth, I feel like that shit been drying up for the last few years. And still, I don't know if I'm ready to get up out of here, because there's a part of me that feel like, you know, we built this country. You know what I'm saying? So why are we just going to leave this shit? But at the same time, motherfuckers done built it, but don't really be at the board, at the table. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got much equity.
But then it becomes you versus what's real. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you lead the country. Do you think you failed Black America? You didn't hold up your end of the building process? If you found somewhere the way you wanted to be that was comfortable and you know what I'm saying? You just enjoyed your life as it is. Not saying it's perfect, because ain't nowhere perfect. Everybody got dictators, leaders, presidents, and ministers and prime ministers and all that shit. But most 9 times out of 10, when you go somewhere else, just like when people come here, they ain't thinking about all that shit. They thinking they got their eyes on the prize. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then when they start getting themselves settled in, then they start thinking about that shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you go somewhere and you work like an immigrant and you just think about what you got to do and manage your business, you ain't even going to trip. You find you a nice little spot, ain't nobody fucking with you. Got motherfucking lemons and mangoes growing in the backyard. What you going to do? You going to be mad? Say, fuck it, I need to go back to New York and pay this congestion tax.
you ever thought about leaving America?
Not seriously, yeah. You know what I mean? Kids in school. Yeah, I don't know. I'm following them. Shit, I'm about to follow the goddamn opportunities. You know what I'm saying? Once my last one is out the door. You know what I'm saying? I don't have nothing sticking me to nothing. But I never thought, hey, fuck it, I'm going to leave America. And I'm just leave America because I'm fed up with this shit. You know what I'm saying? But I would like to go places. You know what I'm saying? I would like to see things. I would like to live in paradise. I don't know shit. You know what I'm saying? But what is that? What is paradise? For some people, paradise is New York. Some people don't even got to go to drive to Manhattan. Mm-mm. Some people never drove to Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's complicated because we got these years that we got, and we choose how we're going to spend them, how we're going to enjoy them or not. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get caught up in the struggle so hard, you don't even think about nothing else outside of that. It's just like, boom, day to day, I eat, and then I go to work, I buy my coffee from the Ock at the bodega, you know what I'm saying? And give me a motherfucking bacon, egg, and cheese, and I'm on my way. That's my day. That becomes your life. You know what I'm saying? That's my library. That's your routine. You know what I mean? This is my block party. These my people. You know what I mean? And and to change it, really, you changing it because you don't want to pay the park or pay the drive, or your neighbors is tripping, or your president is whack. You know what I mean? It's all those things. If it's really affecting your quality of living, then some people was choosing, yeah, I'm about to go to Ghana. I'm about to go to fucking Paris and just fucking sit at the cafe. But if I move to Paris today, I damn sure ain't thinking about what the president of Paris talking about. You know what I'm saying? At all. unless unless that shit start affecting me as an immigrant. You know what I mean? Right. I'm not thinking about none of that shit. I don't think how corrupt that motherfucker is, how much money they stole. As long as my little plot of land is my plot of land and ain't nobody fucking with me, I'm probably not even worried about that shit. I'm going to run these last years out, and that's going to be that. Mr. Muhammad died in Paris. But other than that, you know, I don't really, you know, if you mad enough to leave, then motherfucking leave. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's it. This is what's a whole world, man. People been leaving their places since the beginning of time.
That's true. That is true.
You know what I'm saying? Some Africans say, you know what, man, we finna cross this fucking shit, man, and cross these Alps and see what's out there. Them shits weren't even called Alps then. Big ass mountains, nigga.
Right, right. We gotta get over that.
We gotta get over that. Now, how we gonna do that?
Right.
I brought these elephants and shit with me. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I mean, that's a good way of looking at it, and that's when you take it. You take the you don't take shit personal. You just figure out, well, what we gonna do?
Right.
What is it? What's the word? As long as I think even just having that conversation or even thinking about it is just remembering that you can exercise agency. You know what I'm saying? Right. At any level. At any level. You know what I'm saying? Like, figure out what could work for you. If this ain't working for you, well, what could work for you? You know what I'm saying? Right. Take an audit and then maybe do a pivot and see how that shit happened. You know? Right. So, yeah.
Because it's like, just like me leaving Miami. You know what I'm saying? 1999. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a big thought. Like, I never lived nowhere else. You know what I'm saying? I've visited places. I've spent summers places. But I, like, everybody I know is here. You know what I'm saying? And then everybody here that I know is like, nigga, you crazy. Where the fuck you going? Where you going for? You know what I'm saying? But again, you had to look at what's going to be best for you, what's working, what it is that you want to do, how you want to do it. And then I look around, that shit didn't really exist where I was at. I didn't have the wherewithal to build that motherfucker. So I went to it, you know what I'm saying? And then built something there and lived a whole nother kind of life, you know, seen, met, did all kind of things with different people, you know what I'm saying? Which expanded me from just, you know, only knowing the South or only knowing Miami as a place, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even now going back, you can go back with a greater sense of, okay, this is what could happen, or this is, okay, y'all doing that. If you added this, then that, you know what I'm saying? It's like you no longer become afraid to just, all right, fuck it, let's try some new shit. Let's go to a new place, you know? But again, some people made to be right where they at. You know what I'm saying? Because when you go back to that place and nobody's there, it feels like you're in another strange place. But when you go back and that same lady sitting on that same porch or still staying in that same house and, you know what I'm saying, all the stuff still kind of exists as it is, the culture that is built, that becomes even more valuable to you as a person, as a human, than it did when you were sitting right in it. So it's people that's gonna leave, it's people that's gonna stay. And you gotta choose which one is you.
When you left, how long did it take you how long were you thinking about leaving Miami before you left Miami?
Months. So Super Bowl was end of January. Shit that was supposed to pop off in the fourth quarter wasn't popping off yet. It's February. I was like, shit, I'm moving to New York. You know what I'm saying? And so like people like my pops was like, nigga, how you going to New York? You ain't got no money in Miami. And I'm like, shit, I'm wearing it all out. It's easier for me to get to the money in New York than it would be in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Because, shit, everything you do, you got to go some ways. You know what I'm saying? You got to drive to every single thing. In New York, you don't have to do that. I could sell my car, put that money in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? And then make my way. But in Miami, you just got to go through it. And it wasn't that it wasn't there. It wasn't that it couldn't be built. It's just who I was at that time and where I was in life and the way I was thinking was like, man, I got to get to the system itself. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even necessarily about no job. It was about the opportunity of being close to the game that I was trying to play. I was trying to play that game in an outer market, and it wasn't going as well for me. You know what I mean? So I hit it.
Went to New York. So you had a car to sell? You sold your car, you said?
Man, I think my engine blowed before I got to sell it.
I was going to ask you what kind of car you had. What
was the car? That particular car was a Toyota Corolla.
Okay. I know you was from the Corolla bunch. I know you. Okay. Yeah. Corolla. Shout out to the Corolla gang. You know what I mean?
At that time. Yeah, I think I had blew that engine before I dipped. So I just threw it in the gutter and started from scratch.
Damn. The gutter.
That's easy. Throw it in the gutter and go buy another.
Gutter. That shit sounds terrible. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Violent. Threw that shit in the gutter. Roller.
Yeah, but you know, I had to start fresh. I mean, and in hitting the ground, New York City don't give you time to bereave. You know what I'm saying? Your start. You know what I'm saying? Grieve your past. You don't have time to do that shit. Today is the day, nigga. And them little ends you brought with you is dwindling swiftly.
Right. Every
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I put myself to the budget. I think I had $1.50 budget a day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A dollar hot dog and a drink, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Or $1 slice of pizza and a drink, you know?
Right.
That's how you maintain. That's how I was able to budget.
Yeah. I do think that being broke in New York will definitely arm you on, one, how to hustle, but then two, how to survive, right? So I watch a lot of these. I'll see these little TikToks. Not really TikToks. I don't really be on TikTok, but I see like these little YouTube or Instagram videos where a person's like, I've got $20 a day to live in New York City. Can I do it? I'm like, what? You could do it big. It's sad that I feel like that, but I'm like, what? I stretched that old shit, man. Fuck out of here. That is crazy as hell. $20, man. It just feels like it's like muscle memory.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, shit. Yeah, man. It's one of those things.
That's that DNA trauma they be talking about.
It's like, yeah.
Nah, wow. I mean, it really is. But on the flip side of things, you know what I'm saying? New York gives you more leeway as a struggler than most places. You see what I'm saying? So, like, you know, all that housing court rules and fucking the way electricity play, you know what I'm saying? You could play different games in New York than you can any other place. Mm. Like, they can't cut your gas off in the middle of the winter. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Other places, nigga, you miss that month, nigga, it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Done deal. Yeah.
So New York kind of give you a little more leeway to juggle if you have to. You know what I'm saying? Because they still need the brokies, whether they want them or not. They still need them.
Hilarious.
Somebody got to do the grunt work around here, man.
The cogs.
Yeah, the shit.
Cogs in the machine. It's fucked up.
Even if people be talking about, you know what I'm saying, people sucking up the taxpayers' money, being on welfare and stuff, right? Mind you, more white people on welfare than black people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just imagine this shit. Erase all of the people who work in social services. How many jobs is that, man? How many?
It's a lot.
That's a lot of jobs. How many stores don't stay open because they get that guaranteed first of the month, 15th of the month, EBT, stimulus package every month? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or Section 8.
You know what I'm saying? How many landlords, you know what I'm saying, be fucked up without Section 8 vouchers and shit? across America. Man, please. You need them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody work together. It's an ecosystem.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Man. I don't even know. Yo, dogs, let me tangents, man. We be getting on some shit.
Nah, that's what real shit. No, it's real Jesus topics.
It's real talk, man. It's like, and then the world moves so fast. Shit that was a concern 3 days ago, it kind of is not a concern no more. Because I'm looking at, speaking of topics, I had in bold terrorism. And I'm looking about, you know, I'm talking about like the what happened in New Orleans, what happened in Vegas and all of this shit.
Right.
And, you know, obviously condolences to everybody was affected. It was horrible, horrible tragedy. But it's just so wild how like the news cycle moves. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, you know, I don't see, people ain't really talking about it like that. You know, I just thought it was very interesting. I felt like I got my, you know, especially now that there's no real fact checking going on. So now I definitely got to hold on to my tinfoil hat. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep it because now shit is looking real suspicious. You know, like just certain shit where things just immediately the narrative turns back to terrorism. Mm-hmm. Right. Just in time for this new administration, you know what I mean? And traditionally, I've seen in the Bush administration, you know, when that terrorism is looming and is a threat, we could really infringe on some of your rights, you know what I mean? In the guise of making you safe, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you see it, not even just with what happened in New Orleans or what happened in Vegas and whatever, just, you know, like, there's so much hysteria being, you know, spread about various things, whether it's, you know, the subways are more terrible than ever. You know what I mean? You guys watch out. Things are, you know, like, it could, I've noticed that, you know, that fear, if you allow it to, that shit will keep you from participating. And it'll keep you in a place to where you don't really affect much because you tucked away. You know what I mean? And if you get in the world, you'll realize a lot of this shit. Now, obviously, there's always some danger to any form of engagement. You know what I mean? But, like, you realize, yo, it ain't, this shit ain't like what they saying it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so I don't know, just, it's just an interesting time is what I'm saying.
For me, man, was people really even talking about these events like that?
On the couple days after, it was getting a little bit of, coverage.
I've seen the coverage. I've seen the immediate political weaponizing of them. Both.
ISIS.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna just ask you.
Ask me.
Did you take that as a terrorist attack?
I took it as some bug out, somebody wilding out. Wilding out.
Okay.
Did you
take up the blew up Tesla Cybertruck as a terrorist attack?
No. But my point is, I didn't. No, I didn't. Right. But you know, like, I'm not quick to hit the terrorism button. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think terrorism, I think, like, high-level shit. Again, people losing their lives, that's fucked up on any level. But what I'm saying is, like, then it's like, this is the crazy part about this whole shit. Is it's like, now that we getting into getting back into the era of misinformation, right? And we're not fact-checking and all of that shit, right? If you're not careful, if you don't go along with the okie doke, or you don't play into the okie doke, or you don't believe the okie doke, if you're not careful, you can start to feel like, am I bugging? You know what I'm saying? Like, am I bugging? Like, what's going on? Especially if the community, who's now replaced fact checking, the community is compromised and the community is all in unison with the given narrative, and you on the outside with the, you know, one of my favorite emojis is the, you know, the skeptical emoji. You know what I'm saying? It's the two. The one nigga holding his chin, and then the other with the big glasses. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are my dispositions a lot of the time. So now, you know, it's just like, I see it in regular conversation with certain people. I be like, oh, dang. You like, you know, awesome. I'm feeling like Flavor Flav or some don't believe the hype shit. You know what I mean? Like, come on now. Hell no. It just seems convenient. This seems convenient, but people are taking the bait more and more and more and more. And I think the further we get away from certain things, certain touch points of, you know, the grain of salt or doing your own research or, you know, hoping that somebody there will have the real information, it becomes easier to put motherfuckers to sleep on the bullshit. So, right. Yeah.
So, I like say New Orleans, right? I'm looking at it, right? Because they quick to jump with the terror, and this affects me because anytime it's that, Ali Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? Shit, it's a fucked up situation. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm looking at it, you know what I'm saying? It's a guy who has a Muslim name, okay. But he from America, he's from Houston, he served in the fucking military years for fighting for the country or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They say he acted alone, but he may have been inspired by ISIS, but they haven't proved he had any contact with him. So if it's terrorism, usually goes for a cause, you know what I'm saying? They usually have some type of cause that goes along with it or want or something.
Right.
I mean, this just seemed like a nigga drove his truck through the people. He crashed out. But I didn't see him have a manifesto or had no attachment to, I support this cause through these actions. I'm protesting something. I didn't see none of that. So it's like, you know, it didn't come off as a big terror attack. That's probably why people hadn't talked about it too long. You know what I'm saying? It's happened as a tragedy. You know what I'm saying? They deaded him, and shit. I mean, what else is there to talk about now? You know what I'm saying? We gonna stop people from going to the what's the French Quarter?
Bourbon Street.
To Bourbon Street. You know what I'm saying? We gonna tell people that you're gonna need a passport to go to Bourbon Street. You know, you need to talk to the FBI. We need to check all IDs before you enter. Anybody with a Muslim name, you go to the side. We got, I mean, like, come on, man. It's like, you know what I'm saying? The truck that blew up in front of Trump, I mean, who that was supposed to be attached to? I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost, I mean, it's in line with, you know. You know, we got assassination attempts.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? We got stuff going on, but man, none of this shit ain't linking back to shit. It's up for talk.
Yeah.
So niggas can come in to the administration. Yep, they tried to get me. You know what I'm saying? They put the bomb in front of my building. My building, like Trump Towers, is the new motherfucking ground zero. Man, come on, man. Seem like the okie doke.
For sure. For sure. And it's moving fast. But anyway.
So.
But yeah, I mean, just stay on point.
Stay on point. Speaking of all this bullshit.
Yeah, what's up, man?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is more personal. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know y'all hear me, you know, every few months or whatever, a year or so. Nigga got to rebrand, you know, reposition. Shit like that.
The Eras Tour.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm, you know, I've been down for about a year and some change, you know what I mean? Yeah. As far as that's concerned, because it's just more focused on, damn, I'm here, let me fucking get back right. But right. Now, like, I'm back right now. What the fuck we gonna do? You know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to set out on this path of rebranding. You know what I'm saying? Myself out there. And I had a thought. You know what I'm saying? It's like, do niggas still have websites?
Yo, I just had a conversation with my homie the other day about this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, for what I do, like I just use my site just for dates, you know what I mean, and a ticket link. But there's so many new ways to do all of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the website is, I don't want to say it's over, but it's on its last legs for sure. And it feels antiquated a little bit, but go ahead.
See, this is what I go back and forth with. I understand it feels antiquated and all that type shit, right? But when you need some real information from a nigga, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, social media can only give you so much, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then you really start digging and trying to find out. You go to their site and it usually has a lot more information or a lot more things that you could, you know, touch and not touch, but, you know, that you could understand of a person, like the person, they have their shit up there, they podcast, they this, they merch, they, you know what I'm saying, they shop. You know, it's like their headquarters. It's like your personal own little headquarters, you know what I mean? And a lot of times, you know, on social media, you get the posts that they do, and if they're not good at that, then you don't get a lot of information. You know what I'm saying? You might be somebody with a lot of information, but then, you know, you on vacation with them for the last week. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, damn, I need to see more. You know what I mean? It just seems like a nigga need a home base that's not totally controlled by the fucking Instagram. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Where, like, see me, I don't know what they be doing. I be a little shadow banned a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's like, I'll post some shit, and then be like, yeah, I want to advertise this shit, and then my shit always get to the last line and be like, this post not available to boost. Like, damn, nigga, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even spend the money.
They don't even give you a reason, or they just
I ain't never called nobody or no shit like that, but I be like, man, this some bullshit. I have boosted before, but in the last couple years, I haven't been able to boost.
Right, but I'm saying when they give you that little message, they don't say for what reason. They just say they don't. No.
They just say that's this crazy. Post is unavailable to boost. You know what I'm saying? And I, you know what I'm saying? I know some shit about, you know, might be too long, might be this, but I'm talking about some regular shit sometimes. I'm like, damn. So it's like the shit does have limitations. Like, you could do a lot of things, but it seems like that a nigga need a home base. You know what I'm saying? That is not controlled by them. Whatever you want to put on it, you could put on it. You know what I'm saying? And and I've never really had a personal website.
Really?
Nah. Well, I started with one, but I immediately took that shit down because with what I was doing and how vulnerable I was in my positioning as a business. I would be like, boom, did this content with this company, blah, blah, blah. And then most times people just go to my site, see who the fuck I'm working with, and then hit them and try to work with them. You see what I'm saying? And so it became a place, like, it probably could have been useful to people who was trying to follow along, but it also became a place where my ops could get information and use it against me. You know what I'm saying? So you know, I took it down and I use mostly like more media sites, like my magazine, a blog, shit like that. But I'm thinking in this particular iteration, I need to build a home base. And no, I was trying to figure like what works in these days, like what things should you have in your home base that you can't just have on social. Like, how do you run it? You know what I'm saying? Because your social don't get the likes if you ain't really doing that shit every day. And then you ain't really using your site for the likes. But if you need to drive shit there, you can.
Right. Yeah, I this is what I'm saying. I think that, and when I say antiquated, I don't want to sound like it's not effective. Because to that point, I do feel like, you should always have a digital footprint out there that you control, you know, as much as you can. You know what I mean? Like, if you're running all your business through one of these social media platforms, you could be shadow banned. You could be deleted. They could go under any of that shit. And it's you kind of assed out a little bit, right? But what I've noticed just trend-wise, you know what I'm saying? Like, because kind of what you're saying is, you know, you need something that's centralized to show the people, you know, to give them a good picture of what it is you do, what you got going on, you know what I mean? What you, what have you done, that whole type of thing. Like a, like a landing page, a splash page. I notice a lot of people using, like, Linktree and, you know, all of these type of things. When you go on their social media pages, you click on it, and then it's like a basically a collapsed version of what a website would be. You know what I mean? So it's like bio, this link to this link to the podcast, this link to Passwork, blah, 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 blah. And it's being hosted, I guess, through Linktree. You know what I'm saying? Or various platforms like that. So it seems to be a lot more like, it's not as grand as what a website used to be. Because back in the day, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, websites was like, it was website wars. Like, people was flash and all the types of shit. Like, it was a thing. Some music come on. Like, it was a point of pride. Have you been on my site? You know what I mean? Like, that. It's kind of like, it's almost going the way of the business card. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still, because sometimes when people hit me with the business card, it depends on who the person is, but you like, damn, you still got a business card? But then it's other times you like, damn, that was handy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was somebody gave me a business card this weekend. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, that shit, you know what I mean? And then I found myself falling back into business card mode. I'm admiring the card stock. I'm like, I'm about to spend some money on this. You know what I mean? Right. Got a nice little gloss on the bitch. Right. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
That's the only thing that I'm concerned with. Like, you know, within this particular space, you know what I'm saying? I'm in a different kind of space right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm necessarily on no job search or no shit like that. But I do have ideas and points I want to get across, right? And somewhere for that to live. You know what I'm saying? Like, not for people to go watch every day or see every day. But if you do want to go see what the fuck Mr. Muhammad about, all right, go over here. This is my world. You know what I'm saying? Like, social media, I could present my world as it goes along every day, blase. It's cool. But then I got to be a motherfucking goddamn creative director and a goddamn photographer and, a model. I got to, you know what I'm saying? I got to come up with how I'm going to post and present. And then you hope they go to my link up there at the top, my link in the bio, my link tree, and, you know what I'm saying? Skim through all of the options. You know what I'm saying? Because I go to a nigga link tree, I'm usually going to see one thing, what they're about, or how can I get to the music, or how can I get to the shit. You know what I'm saying? So in my space and time right now, I feel like I should create a space just for my world of thinking. You know what I'm saying? Like, how the fuck Mr. Muhammad came to be and where the fuck he going? You know what I'm saying? Or today, I want to add this. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I got a fucking line of mugs and shit and candles. I don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? It's there. It's there if you want it. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, and then you start to think, well, damn, people just do that online, but do they? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you bounce offline to get to the site. You know what I mean? And I was just thinking about that because as I'm trying to reposition, it's something that I feel like, you know what I'm saying, could help me along. You know what I mean? And I might be tripping. I might be wasting time. I don't know.
Right.
But it's a lot of shit that people be like, oh, that's old, antiquated. But is it really? Like somebody, I saw somebody today. Niggas don't listen to radio no more. Nigga. Are you sure? You know what I'm saying? Because niggas do listen to the radio. You know what I'm saying? And radio's still going. And motherfuckers still have listeners, and niggas be on that bitch 4 hours a day talking right into somebody's head. You know what I'm saying? As they working or whatever the fuck they doing. Might not be as many. Then the new people might not be growing into it as much as they were when we were coming. But that shit ain't dead. Motherfucker still selling ads, still got employees like a motherfucker. Somebody making some money. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't base my life on it ain't as new if that shit still work.
Yeah, I think that's what it all comes down to, too. If to be totally honest with you, it's just like whatever form you're going to speak to the audience on, mm-hmm. you got to be there. You know what I'm saying? Whether, because that's what makes it vital. You know, like there's somebody that, if it's somebody that got good information and you need to talk to and they only got a landline, you're going to call that landline because they're going to hit you with that information and that shit is cracking. Somebody got a good website and they keep that shit up to date and you got all the information that's going on and da-da-da-da-da and it don't feel like when you go to their website that shit ain't been updated in 4 years, then it's a difference. Same thing with social media. It's like, wherever these people are sending you to, it needs to feel like it's active, like there's somebody maintaining it. Right. I think that's what it is. It goes back to, even if it is antiquated, if we looking at it like a whip, you got an old school, but that shit clean.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That shit don't look like it's been neglected. That shit looks like it's been appreciated. Right. And motherfuckers, you know, people got questions and things of that nature. So I think it really comes down to whatever serves what you're trying to do, and you know, you just being attentive to it,
right? No, that's for sure. That's for sure.
But let me ask y'all out there, if you got websites, let us know in the comments. Shout your website out. Roll call. Shout your website out. I want to know who got a website. We're gonna do a website awards and maybe give away something. Who got the hottest website out of the ITC followers? Hit us on the SoundCloud. Shout out to my man Mark Walton over there holding our SoundCloud down. Word. You know what I mean? That's a whole nother thing. People are like, yo, SoundCloud, is that shit antiquated? Well, we'd be there every month, every week. Anyway, it's wherever you at, wherever you show up.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you got all these tools, you know what I mean? I think social media is tools. They're not real. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like real estate, right? You know what I'm saying? We can all live somewhere, rent somewhere and live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what space is going to be yours? And it's hard to differentiate that shit in this digital space. You know what I'm saying? Like we pay for everything with our own shit. You know what I mean? It's like, shit, we so used to paying for the access to the music that we don't own no music. You know what I'm saying? Like, your collection, as soon as you stop paying that bill, your collection is over. You know what I'm saying? Your playlist and all that shit, that's done. You trying to pass them along, nigga. Oh, shit, we ain't paid the bill. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to collect your taste and be able to show your taste if you don't, you know what I'm saying? If you're not able to be there to pass it along, you know what I'm saying? Or say something. Sometimes you ain't going to be there to say nothing. But you want that shit to speak for itself. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to know what the fuck that motherfucker about. What's his taste about? Let me go to his thing where he explores that. But I'm just trying to figure out how to do that in this day and age. And I hope I'm not the only one. You know what I'm saying? That's like, one, you want to have a place to show off what you done. Not just show it off, but, you know what I'm saying, your place of motherfucking legacy. You see what I'm saying? Like, shit, oh, that's what he did. Like, if I croak today, niggas got to go search all through Muhammad Ali before they even find where the fuck I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Shit, nigga go off my little Instagram, oh, he took a lot of pictures of himself and shit. You know what I'm saying? That shit ain't really telling no story. That shit ain't really leaving as much as you think you should be able to leave or want to leave or want people to know. You know what I'm saying? So that's what made me think of it. And then I reached out to somebody, y'all, I need to make a website. And they hit me back with, you know, get your images together and the story that you want, blah, blah, blah. And that got me to thinking, damn, does niggas really do this still? Should I really do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's funny, speaking of websites and artifacts or whatever, things that, you know, might be perceived as older. We talk business cards and shit like that. I just seen Complex is relaunching a print magazine. And they like, there's a whole big, I just see there's like this whole big push to kind of promote this print magazine. Now, the print magazine is $30, which is very interesting. But it's like, it's kind of funny how like, shit'll go away. And then when it comes back, you know, it kind of comes back in a way that like it's played up, that antiquated could turn into retro smooth. You know what I'm saying? And there's a premium on it. And there's different. It's physical media. Where a couple minutes ago, people was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Now it's $30. I've been seeing a lot of $30, $40, and $20 fucking magazines in the world, which is, you know, which and it's like way more than it used to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, now shit.
Well, and because the people now who are going to pay for it, They want it. They want that feeling. They want that nostalgia.
It's a novelty for them sometimes, too.
So, and sometimes it's just the way people feel like learning better. You know what I'm saying? Like writing shit down to me makes me learn that shit better than typing that shit into my notes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I write that shit down. I remember that shit. You know what I'm saying? I remember how I felt to write it. I remember the letters. I remember all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I might even remember where I was when I wrote it. But now you type some shit in, you forget about that shit. You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn, I think I got that shit somewhere. And you start searching, okay, there it is right there. But, you know, sometimes people want something tactile because that's how they grew. That's how they learned. That's how they, you know, now people going to start being born straight with just digital. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's straight out the bat. You know what I mean? But some people, they got other experiences. Like somebody, I was on somebody's Instagram going through the stories, and one of them came up. They was in Barnes & Nobles, and it was like, bring back print magazines. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a small selection of print magazines. And I was like, I replied, shit, bring back Barnes & Nobles. Because this is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, damn. What? Yeah, it's, yeah. It take, you got to go search and find one of them. You know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to Renata Ice. She dropped a magazine. You know what I'm saying? A magazine killed me, but it's okay. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't necessarily the format that killed me. It was my understanding of how to go about it if you're going to do that format.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't go about it the regular way when the shit is dead or dying. You know what I'm saying? You gotta think of new ways. You got to think of how you're going to get to the people who really will appreciate that shit. You know what I'm saying? So not just the medium itself.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So who going to really appreciate it? I guess I'm talking to myself. Interesting.
Because it all comes, I guess, it all comes down to the energy put into it. You know what I'm saying? You got to be the first appreciator.
No doubt. And you got to understand where your appreciator's at. That's the thing with everything around this motherfucker. It's so much of everything nowadays. The real job is finding the people who want the shit that you got. You know? You got to find, like, you know, some shit find people easier, but you, whatever it is that you got, it's somebody that want it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that want all that shit. It's your job to find them. And that's where the tools, the socials, and the, you know what I'm saying, the other platforms can help. But I don't think I need to rely on just that for the rest of my story or the rest of what are my ventures and shit like that, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm going with a theme here.
You said what?
A lot of shit that I'm going with a theme here. Just a lot of, you know, just things that are older, things that, you know, appreciated, and a lot of shit in retrospect, novelty, whatever, whatever. Did you watch the Luther Vandross documentary?
Not yet. I just heard. I mean, I've seen the, you know, all the festival run stuff.
Yeah.
But I just heard it was out last night. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I haven't seen it yet, but I'm gonna check that shit out.
Yeah. We'll talk about it after you check it out. But it's interesting. It was that, and then this this Yacht Rock documentary came out that I want you to watch too, so we can have a conversation, because there's a conversation that was that I saw, like a question asked by Chill Moody, you know what I mean, former ITC guest. He had this question where he was like, Yacht Rock or New Jack Swing? And it was like a poll. And surprisingly, and in the comments, surprisingly, it was like, man, people was going for Yacht Rock. More people going for Yacht Rock. Yacht Rock is kind of like, that's why I want you to watch the documentary, because I'm going to give it a somewhat decent description. But basically, it's a certain genre of like light rock, jazz, pop type of shit that came out maybe like late 70s, early 80s, around that time. Some of the like prominent voices and names of that time were like Kenny Loggins, Michael McDonald, like a lot of white guys, you know. I guess you could say
Miami Vice era ass white music.
No, but not that, because when I think of Miami Vice music, I don't think, but kind of
that era. I'm saying that era. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kinda. Because when I think of Miami Vice type music, I don't know if I put it in the same lane. And Yacht Rock kind of came.
Collins and shit like that.
Kinda, a little bit, but not all. Not like kinda. That's what I'm saying. It's like real, a specific type of genre, and it was called Yacht Rock. Like after the fact, it kind of came from this this web series, or this really like just this like sketch that these comedians did back in like 2005, kind of just making fun of the genre or making fun of this like string of records. It's kind of like what. Kind of like what Neo Soul was, if Neo Soul was named Neo Soul
so 20
years after it came
music.
Out. Well, that's why I want to have a conversation. Because, no, it's mostly white music.
Not saying that you can't
music.
Listen to it either way.
No,
I'm
of
just
course.
Saying.
Of course. No,
white artist or black artist?
It's mainly white artists. Mm-hmm. It's mainly white artists. But that's why I want you to watch both documentaries, because the conversation gets a little broader, right? Because to me, when I saw that, I was familiar with Yacht Rock to a certain degree. You know what I mean? I understood what it was. But when I saw that poll, my knee jerk, I was like, when I saw the question, I was like, get the fuck out of here. First, like, it's New Jack Swing all day. You know, to me. Because I felt like New Jack Swing is, first of all, super black. But it's like a certain era. It feels like, It almost feel like crack. You know what I'm saying?
It's crack.
Yeah, it's the crack era. Right. But it's like that energy that you get from that shit. I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, yo, when I hear Just Got Paid by Johnny Kemp, I could be flat broke, but it feel like I'm thumbing through thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like it's a power pack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's just one of those things. Right. But I was talking to my man Wes Manchild about it, because he said, you know, New Jack Swing reminded him of like summers when he was growing up and all of that shit. But now that he's older, he appreciates Yacht Rock more. But also given the fact that he's a producer, so he mines it for samples and, you know, there's instrument, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah.
So it was just interesting. But then what happened was there was this article Craig Jenkins wrote where it was basically talking about, you know, he watched both the Luther documentary and he watched the Yacht Rock documentary. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, they kind of like, it just showed like the reception on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? For someone like Luther, who's as talented as he is, how much of a struggle it was for him to kind of break out of the margins of just black music, R&B music, even though he's making great records, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it goes to radio, it's pushed to the side. He got, you know, he gets shut out for Grammys year after year after year after year until, like, you know what I mean? Like, took a while for him to break out. Meanwhile, there were people that, if we were just going to look at it as a sonic thing and not an aesthetic thing, there was a lot of black artists that were doing things that could probably be grouped into that whole yacht rock thing, but being the fact that they black, that's just not even an option type shit. So right. it was just a it's an interesting conversation. You know what I'm saying?
I actually seen that post. I didn't know what yacht rock. I didn't participate, but now that I'm listening to it, I looked it up a little bit while you were saying what you were saying, and I could see why it got a lot of burn, because just in my own life, right? Now, I didn't listen to that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? It didn't enter my musical spectrum, you know what I'm saying, until much, much later. But you got to understand, like, the divide in my house, right? So at this time, my cousins from Cleveland had moved down. They teenage girls. They live with us. They have overpowered the TV. You know what I'm saying? MTV had just came out. You know what I mean? Which played nothing that I wanted to hear for the most part. Maybe one Run DMC, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know what I mean? A couple of other things, but they wasn't playing my shit. But they was playing Devo and all other shit, you know what I'm saying? And their musical trajectory is a lot different than mine, you know what I'm saying? So, like, people who was inside watching MTV and shit like that, they have a whole different perspective on music than somebody that was outside listening to DJs. You know what I'm saying? And like my boss, she from California. You know what I'm saying? And she's black, but she loves pop music. You know what I'm saying? All of those things, melodies and hooks and things. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes she'll say some shit, and I'll be like, "Nigga, what you talking about?" You know what I'm saying? And it'd be from a whole different world, even though we from the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't even on that shit. So I could never vote for Yacht Rock. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's a past or a present. I couldn't go, yeah, Yacht Rock over New Jack Swing ever. Because New Jack Swing was part of my life. It was part of my experience. It wasn't me sitting there watching that shit. I was at the spot doing the things when the shit was on. You know what I'm saying? So, but I could see, like, people like my wife who, she like R&B and all that shit, but she liked some of that old yacht rock type shit. You know what I'm saying? She, that's like, yeah, I like that shit. And I'm like, nigga, what? So, that's just my little take. I'm going to watch both docs, though.
Yeah, check it out. See what you think. You know what I mean? And it's like, to that point, yeah, I think a lot of it kind of is what you're exposed to. And some of that shit is, like, pervasive. Like, when, and again, like, the thing about New Jack City versus Yacht Rock is New Jack City was New Jack. I mean, not you, actually, New Jack City. New Jack Swing was New Jack Swing when it was New Jack Swing. Like, in the moment, you knew what you was experiencing. That was the title of it all. This shit is like recasted years later, and it's like, it's almost like a playlist becomes a phenomenon where people are like, yo, this record, that record, that record, that record, that record, that record is this. You know what I mean? And it took form, and then it became a thing of that people want to hear that, and then we also became like, it almost became like kind of a performance, you know what I'm saying? Like, you watch the shit, like, people dress up to what they felt like the music made them feel like, you know what I'm saying? And it is kind of reductive to the actual musicians who made it when they made it, because it wasn't what they made it to be deemed, you know what I'm saying? Like, they was doing some other shit, and now, all these years later, y'all calling our shit this? You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, so I mean, it's interesting. And then just like some of them songs, you would hear, like, for instance, like there were songs that you might just hear in the world or on the radio or whatever. Like, some of that shit I used to say, yeah, you hear it. Like, if you're a, you, there's certain records, I was just joking. Let's not talk about just Yacht Rock specifically, but, like, certain records that were outside of maybe my purview, I would hear, like, at the gym, or I hear in the grocery store, or I hear if you do watch MTV, your MTV, not real MTV, or MTV or wherever, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, later on, when it's, like, when they talk about Blue-Eyed Soul or whatever, like, what's my man's name? Michael McDonald name comes up a whole lot or whatever, whatever. Or certain shit gets sampled. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty interesting how they brought it about. The last thing, though, just to, we get out of here, just on some older shit kind of, it's just funny, if you live long enough, you see how shit kind of cycles around. And, like, it could kind of be rediscovered by a new generation or a younger generation that may have peripherally seen it but didn't engage in it in the same way. But, like, this LeAngelo Ball record that is kind of going crazy, and everybody like, that shit ain't nothing but some old, some early 2000s type shit. Sound like, you know, sound like a big timers record or whatever, whatever. But that shit got the world going, you know, got the internet going crazy. It's just kind of funny to see that shit. It's kind of cool to see it too.
But Nicky, you know, you gotta understand, you've aged through many eras of nostalgia. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what's cool to see it.
This day shit. Like, if this was early 2000s, 2003, that's motherfucking 21 years ago. You know what I'm saying? When I was coming up 21 years ago was the 70s. That's, you know, Curtis May. We was all into that shit. You know what I'm saying? We brought that shit back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the thing about music. You know what I'm saying? Music, and I was thinking about this weekend. Music, you know what I'm saying? Can you make that shit one day? It could not be nothing. Then 15, 20 years later, come back and be something. You know what I'm saying? Or it could be something, go away, come back. Look at the, what's her name? A Keisha Cole record. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit disappeared and came back with a vengeance. Niggas singing that shit like it's new. You know what I'm saying?
Which one, the Love record?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just seen a clip of her, and Usher. She's singing that shit, and Usher's like, man, just put your mic down, take your earplug out, and listen to these people, and let them sing it.
Y'all didn't see that clip.
Yeah, and then she put a mic down. They was singing that shit. She took her earplug out. She broke out. She, like, crying and shit, gave us her hug. Like, thank you for letting me take this moment. You know what I'm saying? This is from that era. You know what I'm saying? This is their nostalgia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
So, for me, I was this weekend, I was going through my Afrobeats list, not my new Afrobeats, the original music Afrobeats. You know what I'm saying? The Fela Kuti and Tony Allen and all them niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going through that shit this weekend, and, like, man, this shit sounds good right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel it right now. So I started looking, doing more investigations, and, you know, looking up Fela and shit, and then it turns out the nigga was, he was trying to create a sound, and he was doing too much. You know what I'm saying? He was doing, you know, high life jazz. You know, their music was doing high life music out there then at the time. And he wanted to incorporate that shit with jazz because he was in fucking Europe and fucking around with these jazz people. And it didn't catch on. You know what I'm saying? How he wanted to catch on. And the cats who was getting all the burn, they was doing what they call copyright music. Which they, you know, because niggas weren't touring as much as they are now. Like, so James Brown ain't been to Africa yet. You know what I mean? So it's like niggas would take the James Brown record and perform it in venues so people could experience it. You see what I'm saying? Until James Brown came around and started touring. So it wasn't no music videos and you could just tap in. And niggas would go play that shit and pretend. Mm-hmm. Not pretend to be, but they play the music for the people. So they was taking over, and Fela was like, God damn, I'm trying to make some new shit. You niggas, all y'all niggas want to hear is this, you know what I'm saying? Just jukebox shit. And so he finally got he toured to America, but he got, you know what I'm saying, the promoters was janky. So the nigga kind of got stuck in America. Him and the whole band, they done went broke in California. You know what I mean? Shaq. So This nigga, they stuck in California, couldn't really work, and visas was played out. And the nigga shacked up with a chick. He met a chick, you know what I'm saying? A black lady who was like in the Black Panthers and all that type shit. And he started reformatting his sound in her crib, you know what I'm saying, on the piano. And then they finally got a little gig, got a spot, you know what I'm saying, on Sunset and started rocking that bitch, you know what I'm saying? And then end up going back to Africa with a new sound that he called Afrobeats. You see what I'm saying? So it's like the whole shit just keep cycling and recycling. Like now the new Afrobeats is doing the same thing, you know what I'm saying, affecting the world with African music, but a lot of times that music is affected from somewhere else, then they bring it back. And, you know, it's an ecosystem, like we said. And I was just kind of thinking through that this weekend, and it kind of blew my mind that, you know, we continue to do these cycles, and sometimes these music, the music don't even really change, you know what I'm saying? It's just the new ideas come, and it's like, yo, I want to do this. Not knowing that that shit had been done just to create the other thing, you know what I mean? And it's inspiring because it really shows me, it showed me that you don't really have to go outside of your preferences or your styles that you fuck with to continue to be inspired, because that shit be gonna travel around the world and back, you know? So that's why I say I wouldn't vote Yacht Rock over New Jack Swing no matter how much I get into it today.
Nah, hey, I feel you. I see what you're saying. But I was surprised by how many people you did. You know what I mean?
I experienced these people. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh shit. But when you think about it, like my cousins who live with me, that's what they was on. They was on all that old MTV, you know what I'm saying, generation shit. And I was looking at them like, what the hell is y'all listening to? But
yeah.
That's how I go. It just wasn't me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But even that, to that point, those are people that were living it in that moment and enjoying it in that moment, even before it was Yacht Rock, right? So back to the point about now that it's Yacht Rock and it's been reimagined or reinvigorated and there's all of this energy around it, people that are discovering it for the first time, that's why they may be more prone to vote in that way, because some of these people probably don't even know much about New Jack Swing, or in how they're being introduced to it feels old. You know what I mean? It don't feel vital. That. It don't feel active. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like one of those things. It's like you had to be there at least until they bring it back.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying? That shit gonna swing back around.
Yeah.
He's gonna be playing that. Just got paid, feels good, my prerogative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Nigga jump around with that rayon shirts and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that shit was a moment. That shit was a moment for sure. For sure. But anyway, that's speaking of Yacht Rocks, it's time for me to say bon voyage. I'm about to smooth up out of here, man. Transform and roll out. It was always good. You know what I mean? Always good chopping it up with you, Muhammad. Chopping it up with y'all. You know what I mean? Or at least y'all hearing us chop it up, go through these tangents and, you know what I mean, and rants and ruminations and all of that. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing. It's 2025. And we in this motherfucker. You know what I mean? And it's always a pleasure. And what I will say before I go, you know what I mean? Because we got to stay focused here. First off, shout out to everybody that came out to Oxford, PA. We had a good-ass time out there. Shout out to my man, Jay Yoder. Shout out to Chris Lambert. He was in the building. We had a blast. Shit was dope. So next time, if you want to see me on the Riddled, I am... Damn, where's my dates at? Come on, dates, not playing. I know I'm at the good old Denver Comedy Lounge in Denver, Colorado, coming up on the... what is this? The 24th And the 25th, I'll be out there. That's that Friday and Saturday. I'll be in Denver, Colorado at the Denver Comedy Lounge. Then also on January 29th, I'll be at the Stress Factory. That's January 29th. That's a Wednesday, January 29th. I'll be at the Stress Factory. And I got a few other spots. I'll be at River in Connecticut on February 7th and 8th. And I got some more stuff that's on DamianLemon.com. Speaking of websites, you go to the website, you can get ticket links. All of these shows are posted, so you can get links to the shows right there. And yeah, I hope to see you in the building. I got more stuff coming up soon, shortly, so stay tuned. Muhammad, you got anything you want to say to the people?
Thank y'all for showing up and showing out. You know what I'm saying? I'll see y'all next time.
There it is. You know, until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.